Robatto. Dopo arigato, Mr. Robatto, manda arriva te. Dopo arigato, Mr. Robatto, di Itsu Hoshirita.
Okay, and hello everybody, and welcome back to the Puma Venture Capital podcast series that we do. We are having a quick podcast tonight because Intuitive Surgical has gotten approval for its long-anticipated Da Vinci 5 multiport robot. And so we thought, what better thing to do than to bring on our co-founder here at Puma Venture Capital, Dr. Vit Patel, again on the podcast to talk through the Da Vinci 5 technologies and the impact that it could have on the market. And what he knows about it is someone who he can now talk openly has seen the robot and has had some experience with it. So Dr. Patel, first and foremost, Vip, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Amit. It's good to do the podcast again and, you know, exciting times for Intuitive Surgical.
Yeah, well, we're due for having a podcast episode between the two of us of just how everything at Puma is going, because we've had a great time this past 9 months or so in building what we've been building, and you've been such an important part of that, and I'm incredibly grateful to you for all of that. But tonight, the subject will be Da Vinci 5. So Intuitive announced this afternoon that they got approval of this multiport system. It's been, as they say, about 10 years of research, design, development, and testing on that technology. And what they're touting is more than 150 technological enhancements. So I thought we could spend some time talking about the technology, and then we'll spend some time talking about how it could impact the market and purchasing decisions and things like that. Okay. So Vip, maybe let's just start and ask you, what's, now that you can talk about it openly, I don't even know this part. When did you first use the system? How much have you used it? Where was it? And just give us your kind of high level interactions with this system to set up this discussion.
Well, you know, first we can kind of get a step back for kind of a, you know, perspective from a 10,000 feet, you know. I've used all the systems, and I've used every system thousands of times, you know, from the standard system onwards. And every generation of robot that has come out from Intuitive has been fundamentally better than the prior one that, you know, we just switch out because there's usually no comparison to the one prior. And so we're hoping that's the case as well. You know, almost at 18,000 cases now with the Da Vinci and all the different Da Vincis, but I've used the Xi the most. Probably 10,000 of those cases have probably been with the Xi over the last 10 years. And that has really been the gold standard globally. And I think rightly so. It just was better instrument than all the ones before. And so we're hoping that the Da Vinci 5 takes us even beyond the limits of the Xi that we currently have. You know, I probably first used the Da Vinci 5, I think, you know, probably a good 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And we went over to the Da Vinci Training Center in Atlanta with our team, and we spent pretty much half a day looking at the robot, using it, and kind of enjoying kind of all the new whistles and so forth to make sure that we were comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, that's great. So I'll tell you what we can do is, given that they set out a press release with some of the technological advancements, enhancements that they wanted to highlight in that release, I'll go in that order and see if I can get you to comment on these things. And I think we'll learn how important each one of these factors are to you and how you think about how they might be important, as you say, to furthering robotic surgery beyond what Xi can do. So interestingly, first thing they mention is a new surgeon controller and powerful vibration and tremor controls that they think is going to make it kind of more smooth and a precise system than the Xi. Did you get to play with new controllers? Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a similar motion for using it. I think it's just, you know, as the technology advances, things get a little bit smoother and a little bit, you know, more aligned. And I think, you know, with the Xi, I think there's definitely room for improvement. And now they have these new controllers that kind of let you kind of go from one motion smoothly into the next motion. So I think there is going to be, potential for improved accuracy and precision. I think it's because of the fact that you probably can move faster with a good flow so that you can flow from one motion to the next. And it's just going to make things much easier for the surgeon rather than having to stop and start. I think you're just going to flow from one motion to the next. It's going to be very seamless.
For the average surgeon, is vibration an issue with Xi with the prior systems?
Yeah, I think they're talking about, a little bit of tremor filtration and so forth. I don't think it's a big issue. I think that the key is going to be the fact that the controllers really make the surgery a little bit smoother and let the surgery flow a little bit better rather than having to stop and start.
Okay. So the next thing they mentioned is this next gen 3D display and imaging processing. So it's going to have, a higher quality and what they call kind of, more natural 3D imaging system that is going to enable, somehow to see more than today. And certainly that's going to be supportive of what's going to come in future generations as endoscopes evolve and vision software evolves. So what can you tell us about that?
I think the image was cleaner. I think that we could see. I think it was also a more broader vision. You could see a little bit wider, so the angle of view is a little bit better. And I think it is for the future, applications that were plugged into this. I see the Da Vinci 5 kind of as the base for all the new technology that's going to come with AI, VR, AR, and I think the image system, the image display has to be really, really high end in order to accommodate the future innovations that will kind of be plugged into this. And I think that's where they're leaning.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And certainly we see a lot of that here at Puma of what could come in future generations in the visualization space. There's so much going on in that space. So let's move to the next topic for that they mentioned, which I think is going to be, a highlight for a lot of individuals in terms of true differentiation for Da Vinci 5, and that is force sensing technology. So man, I mean, we have all been talking about this for so many years and have thought about this issue for a long time and have heard Intuitive talk about it for a long time. But now they're introducing force feedback technology on some of the instruments. And there's more to it, but let me just ask you, were you able to use these instruments in some of the trials that you were working on in Atlanta? And what were your high-level thoughts?
Yeah, no, we definitely got to use the instruments for sure. And basically, it's not like sensitive tactile feedback. It really is kind of force feedback. But with the instrument, you can kind of feel areas, but it's not like using your finger. It's kind of more like, kind of using your thumb. So I think the force feedback and the sensing of technology is going to be somewhat groundbreaking. Nobody else has it. I think what it's going to allow us to do is potentially do a more delicate surgery and exert less force. I think they said there was, 40% less tissue trauma or force applied when you use these instruments because you have a better sense of force feedback. And that may lead to less surgical trauma. It may lead to more elegant surgery. It probably improves efficiency and prevents inadvertent damage to tissue and even sutures and so forth. So I think the force sensing technology is going to be some of the thing that we kind of learn to use. I think the advantage of the five is you don't have to use it if you don't want. So some of the instruments are, have force feedback and the other ones are regular. So you can kind of pick and choose, maybe case by case, you'll use different instruments. So there's a greater armamentarium of choices now.
Do you have a sense of which instrument types you're going to want to have force feedback with?
Yeah, I think the ProGrasp, which it does a lot of the grasping, I think so. And the bipolar, that's very important for me. That's the one that kind of does a lot of the traction as well. The scissors, I generally use to cut, but if I can have the ProGrasp and the bipolar have force feedback, that's probably how I'm going to feel the most.
And for you, Vip, I mean, does it really? I know you're a unique case given how many cases you already do. But is it truly incremental? Are there cases that you think, oh, you know, I probably couldn't have done this case robotically, but now with these instruments, I can do it? Does it actually add to the total kind of potential procedures that you do?
I don't know. I think we have to use it still. You know, we used it in an inanimate model. I think once we actually spend some time and use the technology, we can probably, you know, appreciate it better. When do we use it? When do we not use it? I think for us, you know, if we're intraoperatively able to feel, you know, I do prostate cancer and prostatectomies. If I'm able to feel the nodule on the prostate, I think that does make a difference because of the fact that, you know, we can't feel the anterior portion of the prostate through the rectum. And if I can feel it with this instrument, then maybe it affects my nerve sparing, maybe it affects my surgical margins. So it could have significant effects on the patient. We just have to really use it more and see how to best use it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it could be an outcome thing too, where we see just potentially improved outcomes with this technology. And you know, I have to say, one of the things that we've always picked up on over the years is that there are just these reluctant surgeons, the ones that perhaps have not fully adopted robotics or not adopted them at all. And many of them from the beginning would cite, you know, this kind of force feedback as one of the topics of why they haven't. And so I wonder if you think about your colleagues, especially the more conservative ones that maybe have not yet adopted fully or at all. Is
Yeah.
this how important is this to, you know, to those types of individuals?
Well, I don't think it gives them an excuse anymore. You know, they used to say, well, you know, I can feel the tumor with my hands, and you can't do that with the robot. And that was always an excuse for some open surgeons not to adopt or even try robotics. I just don't think they can say that anymore. So maybe it'll bring those guys who are sitting on the fence, over the fence.
Yeah, and it clearly seems here that Intuitive has plans to use the data from this kind of ability to measure force for kind of future purposes as well. There'll be some analytical insights AI involved here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that was a big topic. And then they've mentioned this actually before this year, but you know, throughput and workflow enhancements. They talk about, you know, features that are designed to help, you know, surgeon autonomy and streamline surgeon and care team workflow. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And they gave a couple of specifics, and I'll ask you about those too.
Yeah, you know, I think everything now on the platform is da Vinci, the insufflator, the electrosurgical unit. And I think what they're saying is that since everything is all on one console, that it probably makes it easier. You just plug into one thing and everything works. And so I think that's what they're meaning by workflow enhancement. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of anyway.
I think that's the only thing that they've mentioned, but you didn't see anything else working on the system itself that did it give you a sense that, you know, that you would have improved throughput? You're probably not the one to ask.
Yeah.
You've got about as good a throughput as anyone in the
Yeah.
country, but
Yeah,
for colleagues.
we may skip number four. So
Okay. All right. So then this is another topic they've talked about is expanded computing power and advanced data capabilities. You know, the comment about it being 10,000 times more computing power than Xi. You know, I just wonder if it, like, as you sat in the system and used it, you know, did it feel that way? You know, does it feel like buying a Mac in 2000 and computer in 2024 versus using a, you know, a Mac computer from maybe 2010 or what have you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think it feels any different, but because, you know, it works very similar to the Xi. But I think this is actually the key to the machine is the computing power, the ability to process. I mean, you know, the next phase of surgery is about imaging and processing and AI and feedback for the surgeon. And I think that's the key to this robot is the computing power. And I think what will happen is over time, more and more apps will be released where we'll be able to use the computer to actually help the surgeon. Hopefully, we'll see, AI, we'll see the robot helping us avoid certain danger areas. We'll have the ability to put advanced imaging into the console so we can see the tumor, which would help surgical margins, it would help nerve sparing. I think the computing power is the future of robotic surgery. And I think actually this is the part of it that excites me about the Da Vinci 5. And I don't think all the things are out there and have been released yet. I think this is kind of the base for what they're going to do in the future. I can see a time where the robot helps us see the tumor better. It helps us make less mistakes. It helps surgeons that are learning understand the operation better. I think the computing power is the key for the future of surgery.
Yeah, I like that. That makes a lot of sense. And then we get to kind of some of the ergonomic features. So they did talk about greater surgeon comfort, and the redesigned console and customizable positioning and all that good stuff for viewing and comfort, even the ability to sit completely upright. How important is that?
Yeah, it's important. I do, 1,100 of these a year, and after a while you feel it. And so I think the key is you do have you can adjust the head-mounted display. You can sit in different positions, and so I think that's important. The ergonomics of surgery for surgeons is underestimated, and actually we published a paper last year on the ergonomics. Actually, my daughter was the first author, and we surveyed 300 high-end robotic surgeons, and they all had some form of discomfort during surgery, no matter how many cases they were doing. And the guys who were using robotics long-term were feeling it. We always thought that robotics was something that would increase the longevity of a surgeon, so make an open surgeon be able to operate longer because they did robotics. And I think that's true. I mean, we can never do eight open prostatectomies in a day, but we're doing more cases. And so we're starting to have different sorts of injuries from repetition and from sitting. And so robotics doesn't take away the ability to have surgeon injuries from ergonomics. It just changes them. And so I think this is going to be important in hopefully reducing surgeon discomfort and surgeon injury. So it's very important.
So it might be a good time to just ask how this is going to compare to open consoles that we might see on future systems like Medtronic's Hugo as an example. I don't know what you thought about the open console. You and I have talked about this before, as a topic, and I don't think you were too positive on it. I think you seem to like immersion. But does this, for folks who, probably a lot out there, surgeons who were looking at the open console and thinking, as you were describing, that might be more comfortable. How far does this new redesign of the surgeon console, solve that problem compared to an open console layout?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody knows, because no one's done a large volume of cases with open console. They're gonna have issues as well. Even though they're not looking into a console, they're gonna have different issues as well. So I'm not sure if we know yet. I like immersion, because you're inside the patient, and I think your depth perception is better, and therefore your speed is faster. So as soon as you become external, you start to slow a little bit because you're not immersed, you're not inside the patient, you're external. And so it does slow you down a little bit. But some of the new robots coming out have really good open console platforms where you don't see that issue as much. And so I think what's happening is the open consoles are becoming very, very good. And even guys like me who prefer immersion can use them very, very well. And I think what's going to happen is eventually all the companies are going to have the choice. You're going to each company will say, look, today, do you want an open console or a closed console? And they probably sell them both, and you'll have a choice. I don't see why not.
And but this version, if you kind of had to rate, this new surgeon console versus the one that is used today with XI and prior systems.
Yeah, I think it's better because you
better.
Can change the angle of the head
yeah.
mounted. So I think the ergonomic profile is better.
Okay. All right. So we probably have missed a few things that we'll all learn along the way. That Intuitive is going to hold a call in a few days to provide more details, I think. But Vip, I just have to imagine that your site is going to be one of the early sites for this system. They talked about a very limited launch in the beginning. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about is kind of the integration with the Intuitive Hub. You know, that's where a lot of the data goes. And I think what's going to happen is this thing with 10,000 times the computing power is going to be able to take all this surgeon data. And hopefully this data will be used to kind of send it back to us and help us, you know, through AI and guidance of surgeons and so forth. And so I see that this data that's going to be collected and goes into the Intuitive Hub, which I think all of these new Da Vinci 5s have to be connected to the Intuitive Hub, if I'm not mistaken, all that data is going to flow back to Intuitive, and they should be able to use it to make an even better version or add to this version. So I think a few years from now, we might realize the true potential of the Da Vinci 5. Yeah, it looks like we're going to be one of the first sites. I believe we're going to take two machines. Hopefully they'll be coming this month. That would be nice. We'll be able to start using it and trying to test the advantages of it. And maybe after we do a few cases, we do another podcast to tell you what I think after doing real cases.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And we'll also put a plug in for this year's SRS conference in late June, where that might just be a perfect time to take folks over if you already have it and show them.
Yeah, I think the plan is to do a big launch, hopefully for Da Vinci 5 from Celebration. I believe we're going to do live cases for urology, general surgery, gynecology, head and neck with the Da Vinci 5 over to the conference. And hopefully there'll be multiple systems to test drive during the meeting. So yeah, hopefully June 20 to 23, if people can make it, we're going to have, I think, 40, 50 different types of robotic technology presenting. We're going to talk about telesurgery, which is kind of the next step in surgery, as far as I can see. And I think we're going to have probably 1,500 surgeons. So it's going to be a very interesting event. And I think it's going to really launch the Da Vinci 5. I think people are going to come to see it.
Yeah, fantastic. A couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up here. What do you think the price for Da Vinci 5 is going to be for the capital piece?
Yeah, from what we're hearing, $2.5 million, which I think is probably the higher than an XI. So $2.5 million looks like what the cost is going to be for the robot from what they're telling me, and about $200,000 for the maintenance yearly. The cost of the instruments, I think the haptic feedback instruments are going to be more costly than the non-haptic feedback instruments. But I don't know the exact cost of them yet, but I would assume they're going to be a little bit higher than the regular instrumentation. So
yeah,
not cheap.
No, and it's helpful because in the release and in their comments, they talk about reducing cost of care. So we'll have to be very interested in hearing how they're thinking about doing that here with a more expensive system and what the offsets might be if that's the case. And then just Vip, I think a lot of our investor friends, institutional investors that might be listening, are going to be thinking about how to model this from an adoption standpoint. In terms of existing customers and how they might replace, and then new customers. What's your thoughts? I mean, you guys are not a perfect comp because I think you're so progressive. We kind of, everybody kind of would assume that you're going to get them quickly. But knowing what you know about the system and some of the, just exposure you've had to it, how do you think about how the adoption curve is going to look for both replacement and new locations?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are leasing these robots these days. And so I could I could see it's an easier switch out if you're leasing. And I think more and more of the programs are probably leasing rather than buying these robots. If you bought it, probably going to have to talk about trading it in and switching over that way. But I think if you're leasing it, you're probably an easier switch and you just pay a little bit more for the difference in the cost.
Do you think it's strong enough technologically that from a marketing standpoint, hospitals are almost going to have to upgrade at least one, if not more, of their existing systems?
I don't think patients are going to come up and say, look, I want to have the Da Vinci 5. Probably very few. But surgeons, they if it's truly beneficial for us in terms of patient care and operating better, having more information, then surgeons may be the one requesting it because it provides enhanced care of the patient. So I don't think it's the patient asking for it. It might be the surgeons.
Very interesting. Well, Vip, this was a great early conversation. I'm sure, as you said, not the last one on this topic and its impact on the markets and competition. So many different angles we could go, but we'll leave it at that and get this out there for folks that are curious about that new product from someone who's seen it and used it. So thanks so much for joining the podcast, Vip.
No, it's always great. And yeah, congratulations to Intuitive for getting this system out, and I look forward to using it.
Absolutely. And for those of you, again, SRS is coming up right around June 20th, and I'll be there. We'll be there in force with a lot of events. So hope to see everyone there. Take care, everybody. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Bye.